Sometimes truth is hard to hear. But we can't survive without the truth. To enter the role of a prophet. The role of a biblical prophet was to explain God's truth to people. They represented God's heart and God's words for a particular group of people. They spoke with authority on behalf of God. I titled this sermon, Prophets of an Unbound Gospel, because this is the role that God has for the church. It's not to say that the church is full of biblical prophets like Isaiah and Jonah, but it is to say that the church has a prophetic role in one another's lives and in the life of the world in which we live. The church must represent God's heart and God's words to each other and to our neighbors. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul confesses that his life is about to be poured out for the gospel. He's about to be sacrificed for the sake of the gospel that he's been proclaiming for 3 decades. And Paul will offer a blood-earnest plea to the younger man, Timothy, to expend himself, to expend every last breath for the sake of this glorious cause. Church, the last days, the days that we're living in right now, will be marked by seasons where people will not endure sound doctrine, where the Bible is ignored and spurned. Paul writes that people will gather people, teachers who will tell them exactly what they want to hear, things that match their desires. They'll turn away from the truth and they'll embrace self-constructed myths of their own creation. And this isn't just a snare for the world around us. Brothers and sisters, this is a trap for God's people as well. The Church of Jesus Christ has been instituted as a people in order to proclaim the excellencies of the one who called us out of darkness into his glorious light. And so Paul charges Timothy to preach God's word, to preach God's words in seasons where it is culturally popular to do so, where it is culturally convenient to preach God's word. But also, Timothy, preach the word when it's out of season, when it runs against the grain of our sensibilities and desires. Preach the word. Couldn't feel more cared for this week by God for putting this passage on this particular week. The church must serve as prophets of the unbound gospel, to stand prophetically apart from culture so that it can proclaim God's truth to our neighbor. Church, we've had some colossal failures here where we've failed to stand prophetically apart from culture so that we can proclaim God's truth to our neighbor. When we enmesh ourselves too closely, we forfeit our ability to speak prophetically. If there's no breathing room between the church, between Christians, and some temporal ideology or platform or party, then we forfeit our ability to speak truth into that. Now, for the church to serve prophetically to culture, the Bible needs to speak prophetically to the church. And so Paul charges Timothy to preach the word. And there are 4 movements in these 8 verses that we'll take one at a time. But here's the main point. The church must serve as prophets of the unbound gospel. Now let's begin the first point, verse 1 and 2. Embrace the solemn charge to preach the word. Embrace the solemn charge to preach the word. Paul writes, I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, now the charge, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, Paul's charge is a solemn one because God is present. God is watching. And so is Christ Jesus, the one who will serve as the judge of the living and the dead. There is nothing that goes unseen in our lives. God is present. Jesus Christ is present, and Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. But it's also a solemn charge because of Jesus' appearing, because he will gloriously be manifested. We will see him. He will return, and with him, he will institute his kingdom. And in light of that solemn reality, that there's a God who's watching, there's a Lord Jesus who's coming, preach the word. Now notice, to preach is to proclaim. It's to herald or announce or declare with authority. Now this is the job of the elder, but there's a sense in which every Christian, every one of us, gives themselves to this work. Announcing God's word, living in light of God's word, declaring God's word to one another and to the people around us. And notice what's being preached. It's not the preacher, it's not anecdote, it's the word. Last week, Greg opened up chapter 3, where verse 16 says, all of Scripture, all of the word is breathed out by God. This is not man's ideas. This is not a person's opinion. This is the Holy Spirit breathing out his very words into a human author who writes them down, and now we read them. This means that the preaching of the word is authoritative proclamation insofar as it opens up the word. Disconnect the preaching from the word and you've lost the authority of the preaching. And so no matter the season, Paul says, preach the word, Timothy. Preach it when it's culturally convenient and popular. Preach it when it's culturally inconvenient and unpopular. This is the main task of the preacher, and Jesus is watching. Now, notice what preaching entails. First, preaching should reprove. By reprove, he means convict. It should expose sin in the hearer. It should also rebuke, that is, censure, admonish, or chide the hearer who's in sin in some area. Third, preaching should exhort. Preaching should call. Preaching should cast vision. Preaching should show us where we're going. So it should reprove, it should rebuke, it should exhort. Do you see that the prophetic nature of God's word? God's word lays down next to us and helps us see where our lives are out of step painfully sometimes with God's heart. But notice the method. Preaching should be characterized by great patience. If a preacher enjoys confrontation, the preacher is not fit for ministry. If the preacher won't confront, the preacher is not fit for ministry. You see, though God's word is confrontive, the message is wrapped in a package of patience and long-suffering and forbearance. The confrontation of God's word should be clothed in God's love and embodied in the preacher. We should feel God's love to us through the preacher as he opens up God's word. God's word lovingly and patiently calls God's people to turn away from sin and to turn toward God. God's word is prophetic. Church family, do we embrace the solemn charge to preach the word? It's a question for your elders. Where might we, as your elders, be tempted to not preach the word? Because it's out of season. Because it's culturally unpopular. Because it would be inconvenient. Because a church could grow a lot faster if we didn't preach an out-of-season word. But God's people need God's word preached in season and out of season. Church family, all of us, do we embrace God's word preached to us? Do we welcome an out-of-season word when it's preached to us? Are we eager for the word to expose where our lives are out of alignment? Are we hungry to be exhorted and challenged and shown the mountain that we want to climb together? Do we welcome the prophetic role of God's word in our lives? I wonder, are you easy to lead in this area? Do you have an open posture to the word, quick to listen? Church family, you don't need my opinions. You don't need my anecdotes. You need the word preached lovingly to you. I need the word preached lovingly to me. It's why I love it when other preachers preach and I can sit under the word and have it washed over my own heart and soul and where I can be challenged to grow. And it's while I love preaching week to week, because all week long I'm forced to sit under the weight of God's word, that loving, glorious weight of God's word that shows the path toward righteousness and joy in God. Expect sermons that open up the word and accurately handle it. That's the first point. Embrace the charge to preach God's word. The second point is to acknowledge the desperate need for the word to be preached. There's a desperate call. This is not only solemn, it's urgent. Verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they, it just seems like people generally, will not endure sound doctrine. Sound meaning healthy or hygienic. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Timothy must preach the word because the need is urgent, because a tragic season or time is coming, a season when they won't tolerate sound doctrine. They'll want to have their ears tickled, an odd phrase that's used only here in the New Testament. They manufacture an itch. They cause themselves to have an itch that they want scratched. They have desires. We have desires that we want scratched, and so we accumulate teachers and people we follow on social media and media networks that scratch the itch we long to have scratched. And the tragic result of this accumulation of teachers is that we'll turn away from the truth and embrace myths and falsehood. That's the danger that Paul lays down before us, that we turn away from God's word toward these other things. Do you see, church, why the need to preach is so urgent and desperate? Because we ensconce ourselves in self-constructed echo chambers, hearing only what we want to hear. But the world needs a prophetic church. The church needs the prophetic word of God. Our friends and children need to see the gospel worked out in our lives. Our neighbors need to hear the solutions the gospel provides. The world around us needs the hope of the gospel. The church must be prophetic. We need daylight between Christians and temporal ideologies. This is how we serve a prophetic role in our culture. We need to be servants of the word, biblically anchored to the word. So, have we acknowledged our desperate need to have the word preached? Here's two questions. Have you compromised, have I compromised our ability to preach the word because of our allegiance to some other ideology or platform or party? Have we compromised our ability to preach the word because of an allegiance to an ideology or platform or party? Now, it's not lost on me in the city in which we live. On election day, we must decide about a political party. Many of you must work for a party or a platform. But are you so entrenched in a political platform that you forfeit your ability to speak prophetically into it? Has the daylight disappeared between you as a Christian in allegiance to God's word and that particular party or ideology or platform? Or have you forfeited your prophetic ability because you become so enmeshed even in your view on race and justice and the gospel? Have you turned off the other side and not given yourself any ability to allow the word to speak prophetically into your heart and for you to speak prophetically into that ideology or platform? We need to be able to affirm what's good. We need to be able to confront what's not. And in order to do that, we need space. And by the Spirit and your conscience and in community, we all have to discern what that space looks like. Second question, what's discipling you right now? What would we say if we spent a week following each other? How many minutes and hours are we spending reading articles and social media posts versus the Bible? How much are we talking to others instead of talking directly to God? How much time are we complaining versus worshiping? Are we allowing the Word to disciple us? Are we allowing the Word to have a prophetic role in our life so that we can speak prophetically to our neighbor? We need to acknowledge the desperate need to preach the Word. Third point. Paul writes, Timothy, expect strong resistance when you preach the Word. Preaching an unpopular word, an out-of-season word, will incur a cost, verses 5 and 6. But you, Timothy, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Timothy, I've just told you what will characterize the landscape of your ministry. Preaching the word will cost you because you aren't scratching the itch they're feeling. You're not addressing the desires they've manufactured in their hearts. If God's word is the content for your preaching, if you're bound to God's word and not the desires and the whims of others, then you'll bear the brunt of their disappointment and frustration and anger. Christians, we see this. We're experiencing some of this now. And so, Timothy, you ought to be sober in all things. Be vigilant and circumspect. Don't be glib. Count the cost. Endure the hardship. Persist through trouble. Don't retreat. Don't hide. Press ahead. Do the work of an evangelist. Proclaim the good news. Fully fulfill your ministry. Though the environment will be challenging, press ahead and entirely accomplish your calling. Church, we've been left here for a specific purpose, to make disciples. And to do that, we must preach the word when it's in season or out of season. From before the founding of our country, Christian pastors we respect, from New Englander Jonathan Edwards to Englishman George Whitefield, did not serve as prophets of the unbound gospel as it relates to the issue of race and justice. Both men who served Christ with boldness and sacrifice and were the mouthpieces primarily for the Great Awakening owned slaves, both of them. Instead of prophetically ministering the word, on this issue they swam along with culture. In his book, The Civil War as Theological Crisis, Mark Knoll distills how the Bible was used by opponents of slavery and by advocates of slavery and by those who cowardly stood in the middle. Some pastors used the Bible to argue against the institution of slavery. Some attempted to use the Bible to defend American slavery, choosing to ignore the components of kidnapping and inhumane treatment and sexual abuse. Most pastors, however, remain silently in the middle. You see, prevailing white opinion was that slavery was necessary and right. And so to preach the word was to preach an out-of-season word. And so that preaching didn't happen, at least not by most. To correctly handle the word would have required these pastors to preach out of season, to speak prophetically, and they wouldn't do it. And sadly, this practice continued through Reconstruction and Jim Crow, where pastors made the case from the Bible that segregation was right and good. That only officially ended 46 years ago, 56 years ago. You see, the fault lines are extending in an enduring and negative way on the church. A church, if you look, is still functionally segregated. And this begs the question, where might I be blind? What might I be missing? Where might we be blind? These are our heroes. Now, I don't pretend to have this question fully answered. These are waters that I'm swimming in presently. I'm still trying to discern the enduring effects of our sins as a nation. still trying to discern the present manifestations in our nation, still trying to discern what the gospel solutions are for our nation. But this much I know, I am committed to giving the word the prophetic voice in my life. And I want you to join me in this. Let God's word speak prophetically into our lives and let it shape our prophetic voice to our neighbors. But we must expect resistance, probably from both sides, when we preach the word. But there's more to the story than resistance. The final point that Paul makes is that we need to anticipate the glorious reward of preaching the word. It's not just about making it to the finish line. There's a glorious reward at the end for God's people who faithfully preach God's word and live by it. Verses 7 and 8, Paul writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Paul literally writes, the good fight I have fought, the course I have finished, the faith I have kept. Paul's been sober. He's endured hardship. He's done the work of an evangelist. He's fulfilled his ministry. And he's now at the end of his life, casting vision to the younger man. You see, there's more to the Christian life than simply making it to the finish line. At the finish line, there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, who will award us with a crown of righteousness, the body of sin laid down, the work over, our battle against the flesh long gone, our enemy completely defeated. In his kingdom, experiencing his perfect righteousness and justice, no one had to teach our God the paths of righteousness. Church, these are challenging days. These are days that demand our full attention. These are days that require our focus. These are days that require us to walk not in our own strength, but in the strength that Jesus won for us in the gospel. The Spirit empowering us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. Let us let the Bible serve as a prophetic voice in our lives, the prophetic voice in our lives. So that we may serve together as prophets of the unbound gospel. Let's pray. Father, would you work in our lives? Would you strengthen us by your word? Would you help us to walk faithfully with you through the power that you so generously supply? We need you, Father. And as we lift up our voices together in praise, pray that you would be lifted up, and that you would draw men and women to yourself. Amen.